Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. Hello, Ciderville. This is episode 176. And if you're ever kind of wondering, well, how do I go back into the archives? Just go to ciderchat.com and the podcast page. And there you'll find the most recent episode. And then there's links below showing you all the different options for episodes 1 through 50, 50 through 100, 50 through 150. And I'm going to have to make a new page when we go over the 200 peak. Wouldn't that be dandy? And for those new listeners out there, well, thanks for trying Cider Chat out. I think on this episode, you have really come on a perfect one because this week I am debuting a song I've written about cider. And it's called We Like Cider. And you'll be hearing me sing it along with my cousin Jay. So there'll be more on that coming up. Any background music that you're hearing on this here episode is the song We Like Cider. And I hope it's catchy enough where you want to sing it too and maybe do your own like little fun rendition. So I'll get back to that because I, of course, I'm going to be teaching it to you so you'll be able to sing this fun little ditty. But first, a little bit of news out and about in Ciderville and then some snapshots from the recent Monterey Bay Cider Tour that just took place in California. This morning started out just the way you like it with a very positive email from a Patreon saying a new patron had just become part of the Cider Chat Patreon page. And in case you don't know what Patreon is, it is a website that helps content providers like myself continue to produce this weekly podcast. So you could go to ciderchat.com and find a link on how to become a patron too. This came in from Nathan from Australia, actually on the mainland of Australia, not Tasmania. And he is full on in cider at harcourtcider.com.au. And of course, I had to check this out because this is the first patron from Australia, and it really like piqued my interest. What are they about? And I found out that this region does grow apples and pears, has been doing it for a long time. And this particular cidery has just won at the Red Hill Cider Show, which I found out by going to Harcourt Twitter, which is at Harcourt Cider. That's spelled H-A-R Court Cider, all one word, H-A-R-C-O-U-R-T Cider, that competition is now in its third year. So they had 2017 when they were winning awards, 2018, and now 2019 they are winning awards. So bravo for that. Shows that you're staying with it. I'm always interested in competitions, taping them, doing the best in show to really kind of mark what's going on with that. So I'll be following up more on competition in an episode coming up, definitely. And let's find out what they won here. They won in 2019, already won two medals for their apple cider dry and their apple cider sweet. And another little piece about Harcourt Cider is that they do not have any concentrate nor sugar added to their product. So I love hearing that because, well, you know, I got to watch the waste. And more importantly, I love that taste. I just love finding out what that essence of that particular fruit in that region of the world, finding out that terroir, what it is like. So bravo for doing that good work and becoming a patron of Cider Chat. You know, it means a world of difference for this podcast. Thank you for helping to keep cider going up.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Yes, I do like walking in the orchard and dancing in the street, smelling all the blossoms and kicking up my feet, which is just some of the chorus line from this here new song, We Like Cider, debuting on this here episode 176. a kind of little catchy tune, isn't it? And don't worry about singing harmony. You'll be fine. It's a drinking song, after all, you know. It's one of those songs that I think sounds good even when you're out of key. But first, we're going to be heading to these snapshots from the Monterey Bay Cider Tour. So make sure to get your glass ready as we set sail. And we're going to begin first with me heading out earlier in the week, using that time, one, to meet up with all the makers, making sure that everything was set from like the cider dinner to the meeting with the orchardists and all the little details that go into setting up a cider tour. And believe me, there's a lot of details indeed. And also a very special moment where I was able to meet up with Randall Graham of Bonnie Doone Vineyard at his new location in Papalachum. Now, I did record that conversation, but you're only going to hear a little wee bit of that to get you in the mood, some of my excitement to share that with you. I met with Randall to share with him a bottle that I had received from Eric Bordelais in Normandy, France, a bottle of a Cormet. And if you want to see the moment when we had that bottle open, there is a video. I believe it's on Instagram at Cider Chat, Ciderville. It's also on the Facebook page for Cider Chat, where he popped it open. And it was just so delightful. You know, I mean, that is what the connection of cider does for us, the palms, everything going on there. So, and speaking of Papalachum, where I was heading to, Randall does have an orchard happening there. It's all Aspelia. The apples look great. There's some blossoms on when I was there because we were right smack in the middle of the beginning of apple blossom season in the Monterey Bay region. He also has some pears that were in full bloom up on top. So again, I'll be getting to that chat. But first, I'm going to take you to the little bit of a ride out there. And then next we'll be heading to just walking out in the orchard with him a little bit. And then we'll be going on into the actual tour and giving you some snapshots from that. So make sure you grab that glass and have it be full. But if you're riding your bike, keep your eyes on the road. And if you're driving that car, keep your hands on the wheel, because there's so much of cider to enjoy out there and so much more to see in Ciderville. And I always want to make sure that you get to your destination safely.
Walking down the orchard, dancing through the street, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
One of those Monday mornings where I'm just feeling so privileged, really. I mean, kind of out of my skin, the fact that I get to drive out on a beautiful Monday morning in California into an area that I haven't been to before. This is southeast of Santa Cruz. I'm headed to San Juan Bautista to visit with Randall Graham and check out Papalachum, his amazing new farm, I want to call it, farm vineyard. I don't want to just call it a vineyard because has other things that he's planting besides grapes. He has an orchard, apples, quince, perry, and I'm sure other things. I can only imagine this place was chosen because I think circumstance just happened his way. But we'll talk about that as we get there. In the meanwhile, let me tell you a little bit about what I'm seeing. It's super green out here. It's been raining a lot in California. Total flip upside down from the past couple of years of supreme drought situation. Not good. So now they're on the flip side of that. It's super green. I'm hoping that's going to help the winemakers in a way, although they really like the dry conditions. There's nothing better than having water, and water is life. Green side, there's a lot of high grass growing. I'm looking out, I'm seeing berries. This region is just inundated with berries. Berries require a lot of watering, so it's not the best crop in some ways for this region, but there you have it. We have to live in harmony somehow with each other and all the farmers, all our needs. A lot of berry farms flat land, green mountains to the distance. I can only imagine what this looked like just a couple years ago, super dry. We're going to head on. I'll catch up with you up the road.
There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. There is a reason why we drink it like this. Yes, there is.
So I've been following these directions that Randall sent me, and I went through the grove of olive trees, kind of came up to a spot where I was a little stuck, and up came a car behind me, and it was Randall. So I'm on the right track, and of course I'm following him, so it's going to be perfect. Here we go. It's like a number of years ago that I did the recording, and now here you are, like full on, my gosh. What a location. Look at this. And I'm going to talk to the listeners while I'm going along, so just so you're not thinking I'm crazy.
Sure. I mean, in Santa Cruz, when
it all worked, yeah. But look at that, the hillside on either side, too, like those big trees. Are those oak trees that I'm looking at, like those big ones?
Those are oaks, yeah.
Yeah. They're beautiful.
So these are... this is obviously the property line, but those are our neighbor across the street let us plant olive trees. But
yeah.
This is the San Andreas Fault right here. And the soil changes from this side of the street to that side radically.
Whoa.
So that is very heavy clay, and this is kind of loamy.
Yeah.
And so the olive trees are much happier on this side of the street, but they're coping.
So the road itself is the fault line?
Yes.
It's in really nice shape, that road.
It just got repaved. We'll see how long it lasts.
That was a little bit of the conversation and the arrival at Papalachum with Randall Graham of Bonnie Doon Vineyard. We'll be getting back to that in a subsequent episode upcoming on Cider Chat. But next, let's head to, and now you're hearing some waves in the background because we're heading over to the ocean. I was recording that day on the beach walking along. My conversation isn't so notable, but the waves are, and I just wanted to give you a sense of that. So if you just kind of breathe in now, imagine like salt water and a blue, blue stellar sky, like just beaming down on you, and seagulls hoping that you have some food in your hand to throw their way. Just a delightful day. The first part of the Monterey Bay Cider Tour began at S. Martinelli Company in Watsonville, a special exclusive tour for our group. They had signage up. There are photos for this part of the tour at the episode show notes at ciderchat.com. So do go to that if you want to see some nice photos. I'm going to be playing with you just a little bit of that conversation with John. You should know what happened there was we did this amazing tour in the factory. I'd probably eventually get some photos out of that as I catch up here with my life. And then he had mentioned to me, hey, you want to go to the orchard too? And I'm like, oh, can, you know, can we actually do that? Because it was kind of last minute, his offering. And indeed we did. He actually hopped up on the Betty Jane, that tricked out retro school bus that we were traveling around in, which was so much fun. Thank you, Annie of Santa Cruz Brew Cruise Tours, and cruised out to the orchard. Along came Laura and Rich Everett of SoCal Cider and Katie Ryder of Ryder Ranch Cider, too. They're all coming along on the tour, along with Nicole Todd of Santa Cruz Cider Company. It was one big happy family going out and about. So I don't have anything from the orchard, but I thought you might just like to hear a little bit of John speaking here. So let's head to that next. So most folks probably have listened to the podcast that I did with John, which was just so stellar, telling us everything. And out of that, I was able to, you know, get him to agree to give us a tour. So this is just absolutely fantastic.
You're a good arm twister.
I know. I'm a rough one, too.
On a Friday afternoon on a beautiful day like this, I'd be riding my bike.
I know. It's all good. It's all good.
It's all great. I'm going to be careful because I can go long.
Okay.
And we need to
I'll watch the time.
But first 50 years was all about hard cider, and then Prohibition was coming. My great-grandfather was 75 years old, and you know, nearing the end of his life, having failing health, and there was just, you know, looked like no future for our company. My grandfather was an architecture student at Cal, University of California at Berkeley, and he sought out a professor there named Professor Cruz, who helped him develop the pasteurization process that made it possible to convert our hard cider product basically into a non-alcoholic version. And then with that and also the invention of the apple-shaped bottle, you know, our business really took off. And hard cider was a staple in a lot of the pioneers. In fact, that's the reason apples were brought to the West Coast originally, was because it was cheap alcohol for the pioneers. And anyway, so then we brought it back after Prohibition in the 30s and up until about 1979. And it had become such a small percentage of our business because the sparkling cider was growing and everything. And hard cider really in this country wasn't a thing. There really was, you know, there was, the category really wasn't developed anymore. Had been, kind of went away. And then with our anniversary year coming up, there was a whole lot of interest in us doing an anniversary product, which we did. And that's the one that you're going to taste today if you haven't already. And we've done three runs of it. And right now we still don't have a license to produce alcohol and sell alcohol. So we have an arrangement with Gordon Biersch over in San Jose, who makes hard cider and then also their beer products. And so we make the juice here with our normal blend, a little bit heavy up on the Newtown Pippins because that's our signature flavor apple. And then we tank the juice over, and then they produce the product, and then they own it at that point. They're selling it to Costco. We've got it in Costco and in Safeway and Raley's. Whole lot of interest in it. We outsold Angry Orchard, which is, you know, we all kind of thumb our nose at Angry Orchard because it's a crappy product, right? We all know that. There's no Angry Orchard people here today.
Hi, Ryan Burke.
And no, quite honestly, that was one of the reasons I didn't want to get back into the hard cider business, because I just wasn't happy with the flavor of the products that were out there. And you know, it's just really not, you know, it's got to be great. And anyway, so the Gordon Biersch project's working really well. We're in the process of getting our license now, so we are going to be able to either produce and or sell the product. At this point, we don't have room and capacity in this plant. It's easier to have a
well. We're hoping that you're going to be making even more different kinds of cider varieties. So
well, there's that, and I hope we have a little time. Well, when we're in the store, we can chit chat about that. You know, and then you see our sparkling blush here, which is our new, and now I'm seeing that the hard ciders are all coming out that way, you know, which is, you know, more color thing than, doesn't really change the flavor that much. A little raspberry note in that product, and I don't know if we're interested in tasting any of those of our 9 o'clock stuff. So anyway, so we do need to get out there. It's extremely noisy, so I'm going to be going, you know, like pointing at things. Chris will be also available for questions if things come up, but we're right at the end. This is the end, last hour of production. Still running, right? Yeah.
Good.
A little bit embarrassed because it's really messy.
Oh my goodness!
The apples at this time of the year have been in cold storage since September, and they're pretty tired. So you'll see our system though, which is, a lot of it was designed and built here, and then a few other pieces.
John answered a few more questions, and then we were ready to go into the plant. But I want to remind you that we had on hair nets, a hard hat, glasses, earplugs, and badges identifying us. And they kind of escorted us around, kind of walking different areas, because this is a big operation. I mean, the tanks are like 32 feet high, the stainless steel tanks. We saw the apples being dropped in from the bins, and then going down through a conveyor belt with, like, I think there was a total of like 4 or 5 people on either side sorting it through. Then it goes up above on a catwalkway. We were able to walk up to the presses. And I mean presses. I believe there were 7 of those accordion presses up top. And they had them running for us. They were really, really giving us an amazing show. And we could see it was being grounded up into that pumice, a really soft juice. They were just making juicier and then squeezing that accordion. Wow, what an experience. And it was so loud. I tried to listen to my recording, couldn't anything. It was just a blur of like machinery in the background. So I was pretty thankful for those earplugs, really thankful for their care, both for their employees and to our group. It was a pretty neat experience. Then we headed over to the tasting room and then out to the orchard. From Martinelli's, we then headed up north, just a wee bit out of town, to the town of Apthouse, to that 1880 barn that I had talked about when I had been there in December, meeting up with all the cider makers and orchardists. And this is a location where Santa Cruz Cider Company gets a lot of their apples. And first, we had a talk with Robbie Honda of Tanuki Cider. He had, along with Santa Cruz Cider Company, an exquisite pouring. They had these like little ball jar glasses, kind of those small ones, all set on wood, and then accompanied with cheese pairing. And they did it fantastic. It was just a fantastic pairing. So let's hear a little bit of Robbie Honda, and then we'll go to Nicole Todd.
We have generally done one big harvest throughout the season and then one big press, and we blend all of our apples at the press. And we've been fortunate to have the apples we have access to in here in Watsonville, Santa Cruz County, mostly the Newtown Pippin, the Bellflower. We've worked with Mutsu, Winter Banana, Macintosh, but just a few, like five max, you know. So we generally blend at the press. This 18 that you're trying here is our first single varietal, and it's the Newtown Pippin. And we plan on having this be like a flagship style cider where we're going to reproduce a single varietal Newtown every year. So pretty excited about that. And production-wise style, it's unfiltered, it's unpasteurized, it's alive, low SO2, sulfites, we're like 25 ppm total. Okay. We didn't rack it. We did it, this batch was about, how many bins did we do? It was about 1,000 gallons, and we left it on the lees the whole time and just racked it right before we added a bottling sugar. So this is all can conditioned as well. This whole batch we did in cans, 12-ounce aluminum cans, and they're all can conditioned. This is our second year doing that, so it was kind of, it's still pretty scary, you know, like cans are different than glass, can't hold as much pressure, you can bubble, and you know.
So did you do a lot of trials to figure out?
No.
Any exploding ones?
No, yeah, so far so good. But the cheese is also made locally in South Santa Cruz County, North Monterey County, by a friend, Rebecca King. This is a ricotta salata. It's an aged ricotta sheet milk cheese. Rebecca has collaborated with both Santa Cruz Cider Company and us. She's washed some of the rinds of her cheese with our cider, done some small releases. Wow. So, yeah, she's been a big supporter of us as well. The leftover pomace after our pressing goes to her animals, the pigs. So, yeah, this is the ricotta salata. It's a raw sheet milk cheese. Thought it was...
goes perfect with like a nice dry cider.
I mean, that cheese will go good with anything, so we're like,
kind of scored.
I figure like a good cheese will help our cider.
I'm just kind of curious, how many people like this drier style? And you like a sweeter style?
Yeah.
A little sweet. I mean, I like it all, so I shouldn't kind of say like, I'm only go, obviously, I talk about it all, but, you know, and the clarity is really good too. You know, you might get those little bubbles in there. So do you know what he means when he's saying can conditioned? Can you explain that a little bit to us who don't know what that means?
Yeah, so opposed to the method champenois, this is like the home style where it's very rustic. So we ferment our ciders to dryness, and then we add a bottling sugar after it's racked off of the gross lees, which was the primary racking, which is also a first for us, into our bottling tank. And then we add the bottling sugar, and it's mixed in. So it's all mixed up in one batch, opposed to individually dosed in each bottle or can, you know? So we're assuming that our sugar levels are correct, and it's mixed in well, and then it gets canned straight off the line. So it goes to that secondary fermentation in the can, which we also don't...
That's brave. I mean, that's really, really brave. Yeah. And yet, and so it's good to know, like in the craft beer scene, when you would get like some beer, You'd want to know how is being delivered to the store. Like, did it hit any kind of heat? I mean, back in the day, people really, really paid attention to that. Nowadays, not so much. But with cider, he is setting us up with something here that you really want to curate that cider in a way. You don't just kind of let it sit out in your camper and then bring it in a month later. And you have to think about it. It calls on the consumers to, like, be a little bit more conscious.
Robbie then had for us a still cider called After All, and it was made with a blend of Newtown Pippin, Bellflower, and Mutsu. It is barrel-aged. It was barrel-aged for 8 months and then bottled. Really delightful cider. I highly recommend it. A lot of people go for the bubbles. I love it all, and I really enjoy this cider. And if you are lucky enough to be out in that region of California, you could find it at Staff Life, New Leaf, and probably a couple other areas too. So keep your eye out for it. A really nice cider by Tanuki. Let's next move on to Santa Cruz Cider Company and hear a little bit from Nicole, who was also pouring some ciders that same day in the 1880 Apple Barn in Apt House.
As Robbie mentioned, we bought a press together. So Tanuki Cider and Santa Cruz Cider Company bought a really nice rack and cloth press. Felix, who's a jack of all trades, he's our artist. So all of our labels for Santa Cruz Cider, plus all the hand-painted signs, the bottling line, the bin dumper, the sorting table, everything. Felix builds and draws and does all that stuff for us. That's Florian's, yeah. It's my husband, Felix, my sister, Natalie. And so it's Santa Cruz Cider Company is the three of us. We got into it kind of by accident, but I was working for Santa Cruz Mountain Brewery when I found out about my gluten sensitivity. So we started making cider by finding this orchard that wasn't being harvested and backing our truck in and filling up and taking off. So those were our first couple batches of cider, was found apples. And when people asked us what kinds we were using, red ones and green ones. Like, that's what they were. We had no idea at all what we were getting into. So happens that our friend Dave bought that exact same piece of property that we were helping ourselves to. So we then had full access to it. We could have, you know, check on it at different times of year. We got to know what kinds of apples they were. It's actually a 2-acre teaching orchard for, like, kids after school would go there and learn about apple trees and how to take care of a farm and stuff like that. So, and we made 80 gallons 1 year. We made 100 gallons the next year. And then we made 500 gallons. We should probably get the license to sell this. That's how we got into it. And what we decided to pour for you guys today is our 2016 Gravenstein. You guys met the trees earlier, and so this is all apples from this property, and the one next to it is also the 2016 Gravenstein, but aged in used red wine barrels. So,
and look at that label.
So instead of Gravenstein, it's Gravenstein, like Frankenstein, scary again. So, again, one of Felix's creations. But yeah, the Gravenstein apple just has such nice, bright acidity to it. It's the earliest ripener for us. That's how we came to be on this farm, is Martinelli's doesn't open early enough to take Gravenstein apples. So the farmers here started looking for an outlet because they have about an acre, so it can be several tons a year, of where to sell their Gravensteins to. And they were driving through Watsonville and Corralitos one day, and they saw some cider bins out at one of the local pressers, and they're like, well, maybe cider makers want our Gravenstein. And they came home and they're like, what was the name of that cider company? And, oh, it must have been Santa Cruz Cider Company. So they Googled us, they found us, they called us, and we're like, yes. So that's how we met the owners of this property, and just became fast friends. Felix and I moved here the next year. We live in the house on the property now and help take care of the orchard. 2016 was an amazing year. We got 12 tons of fruit off of that orchard. Where compared to 2017, we got 1.5 tons.
Whoa.
So really big difference. This last year, I think we got 8 or 9 tons.
Yeah.
So definitely kind of these trees like to be little biannual producers. But yeah, nice bright acidity. We thought it went nicely with the goat cheese that we kind of paired it with. And we're doing the cheese pairing just to get you guys thinking about pairing cider with food. But the nice tart, like high acid ciders go really well with like the tanginess of the goat cheese. These were all still pressed by one little bladder press at a time right here in the orchard. We pick them, tractor drives them over, we hand unload them 5 per bucket onto the sorting table, wash each apple, crush it in a little grinder, and then I think, gosh, we would get 9 and 11 gallons per press. And we made, I think, 800 gallons of gravel stain that year. So one little basket at a time. And usually just the 3 of us at that point out here most days doing that kind of work. So we also put some of it in a used red wine barrel, which is the one next to it. And it was really interesting how it pulled out the tannin and the flavor of the wine in it and just completely changed it. And so that one we felt like went really nicely with the Manchego cheese, which is that last cheese.
We are like cider. We are like palms. We are like orchards and having some fun.
I want to really tip my glass to both Tanuki and Santa Cruz Cider Company for providing us with such a lovely setting. At a delicious tasting, the pairing with the cheeses were perfection, absolute perfection. Well done. We had a little orchard walk beforehand going about, and the apples, the Gravensteins, were in bloom. That was beautiful. Walking underneath the coastal redwoods to get there, and then right next to the barn was the beautiful Sequoia, Sequoia gigantum, largest tree in the world. So that makes it really super special. And what fine people. You know, we were in this old barn. They had couches and chairs. It was really a comfy, cozy place after, you know, having been over at Martinelli's in a big industrial kind of setting to come into more intimate setting. It just shows you the diversity in this one area. And that was just day one. So we went back to the hotel that night, and then began with day two, where we headed out to Coralitas, back down the road, not too far away from our meeting spot, to meet with Jake Mann of 5 Mile Orchard.
Let's move on to talking about actual orchards and apples. Okay, so again, this is a transition. It'll be certified by this fall, by this harvest. We're in the third year.
The original orchard, and this kind of goes for everything you see, where these large, the largest trees are the Newtown Pippins. These are about 75 years old. And the original planting was probably a 30 by 30 foot grid. So like this was a row, this was a row, that was a row. To get more, so 75 years ago, we didn't have dwarfing rootstocks. You couldn't plant a dense orchard like what you see behind you. This is about a 30, 40 year old Red Delicious orchard. Smaller rootstock, semi-dwarf, you can plant more per acre, get more fruit per acre. Pickers also like the shorter trees. So if you've got an orchard, you guys drove by Pistas yesterday, it's all monster pippins, way bigger than this, and he has a hard time getting labor to pick it. It sort of ends up last, or, you know, after all the good stuff, easier stuff has been picked. So it's something to consider when you're looking at, say, renting an orchard or replanting one, like, what's your labor situation going to look like, you know? I'd love to have more pippins rather than Red Delicious, but they all come ripe at the same time, and they fall off. Pippins have really small stems, and so they'll push themselves off as they ripen. If you have, I don't love Red Delicious, but those come on early, and it allows us to kind of build a crew of pickers at the beginning of the harvest, and then we can move on to our other varieties. If you didn't have Red Delicious, then you're starting off fresh when your pippins are ready, and maybe all the pickers have gone to other ranches already. So there's this whole logistics thing about what kind of fruit you want. I'd like to have more Granny Smiths, because that keeps the harvest going later when things are kind of shutting down. You've got more time to pick at that point. I'm all over the place. I had lots of coffee this morning.
You're doing great. You are. This is perfect. You're awesome.
Keep talking about the densification. So at some point, folks went through and planted every 15 feet in the original row more trees. So you've doubled your density there. Then the next move is split the row completely. These are Mutsus that have been planted down the middle of the rows. These are about 10 years old now, 8 to 10, producing nicely.
They're about 9 feet
tall. Another ranch
we
have, my folks' place, when they did the second row, they just offset it from the original by about 8 feet. And so you've got a double row and then more space. It's hard to imagine now, but when these trees have fruit on them, July, when it's starting to form and get big and you've irrigated, the branches come way down. Some of them are propped. You can see the props that are in the bigger trees.
You mean they lean way
the
down.
Branches come down, and it becomes down. Very difficult to drive a tractor in there. Mm-hmm. We've sort of been preferring one row to the other and doing a little bit of extra pruning on that so you can get a mower or put the bins down that when it's time to harvest.
I feel like Jake Mann was, you could tell, he was just on a roll there. Funny, engaging, and so knowledgeable. I learned a lot, you know, and I've been in a lot of orchards, but there's always something. And so the extended version of all these little mini chats that you're having, I'm going to be posting up on the Cider Chat Patreon page. So stay tuned for that. Definitely become a patron today and support this podcast so I could keep on going on the orchard and getting these kind of conversations for you. In the meanwhile, after we were done with Jake, him walking us about, he showed us grafting, brought us out to see some grafts that he did, some top working on some Red Delicious with some black twig. That was super neat to see. Then we walked further into the orchard down to a grove that was in full bloom, and we came upon this like most exquisite sight with a tablecloth, all these beautiful glass stemware, bottles, and there was Eric Ryder and Katie Ryder of Ryder Ranch Cider, a local artisanal cidery who only makes cider with Newtown Pippin. And that's where we had that vertical and horizontal tasting that I've been talking about. And they just wowed us, brought out a hop cider, a Newtown Pippin cider. They also were at the cider dinner that evening, sharing their cider and good cheer. Listen to just a wee bit of that as we move on day two of the Totally Cider Tour to Monterey Bay.
I mean, really small. I think we might be the smallest in the United States. Our entire facility is 120 square feet.
Yes.
We have it's a tough shed, and we do under 1,000 gallons a year.
Wow.
Pretty much everything is different-ish, except for the fact that we primarily do only Newtown Pippin. So we have a main pairing that is a horizontal. Three Newtown Pippins, all 2017. One is the trees that we were by up in the front here, the 75-year-old Pippins. The other is, there's a little tiny, funky little, it looks like a vacant lot, but it's a Pippin orchard across the street.
You'll see it when you pull out it.
And then there's what we call a pre-prohibition Pippin, which is 100% from trees that are 100 years or older. Planted and aged exactly the same yeast. Aged in steel tanks, so that what we could get was a good sense of what the difference, the different terroir from the different orchards is.
Yes, there is a reason why we do it like this, because we like cider. And that was our morning part of the tour. We were then headed out to about like a mile away or so as the crow flies to Serenventi Ranch with both Aaron and Pete Serventi to have a tour and tasting of their brand new tasting room. Really beautiful place, super nice people. What an exquisite location, kind of off the main drag. Orchards on both sides of the hill. They're taking this on. It's a new endeavor for them. Pete is the main cider maker. Aaron really kind of holds her own specialty. She's an interior designer by trade. You could see her work everywhere. A lovely couple, what they're doing. I'm just so excited. Was so pleased to bring the folks there and have that tasting. They had a big table, outdoor seating. We had lunch. I think everybody wanted to just like lay out in the sunshine and take a snooze. It was so wonderful. But first, I'm going to give you a little bit of a snapshot of the talk that we had with them both.
We got picked up this orchard 4 years ago, and I had a different vision when we originally bought this than being a cider maker, than being an apple orchardist. But being here 1 year, we farmed the apples the first fall and just fell in love with it. And I'm not originally from Watsonville, my wife is, but just being here in a short amount of time, I gained a big appreciation for the significance of the apple to the area. Then you guys have heard, just I'm sure in your other visits to orchards, to Martinelli's, just how long apples have been grown here and how important it's been to the Pajaro Valley in general. So I just appreciate the history of it. want to keep that history alive, and we decided just after that first season that we'd stick with the apples. Really try to rehab the orchard. The orchard itself was fairly neglected, and the trees are 50 to 70 years old. The prior owner only had the orchard for a couple of years, and he hadn't done anything to maintain it. No pruning, no watering, no significant maintenance. The trees had just been let go, and the owner immediately prior to that, before he sold it, was doing the same thing. He wasn't taking care of it. So the trees had gone somewhat wild, and which is okay. It's not horrible, but to get them back into production mode takes some time. We did, the first couple of years. The first year we just picked the apples. We hadn't done anything because we picked the place up after pruning time. Next spring we've started to prune the trees, which we didn't hack them all the way back. It's been a process over the course of the last 4 years, taking a little bit out of the trees, And our crops have, after the first pruning, we had a pretty good year. After the second pruning, when we took more out, the crop went down quite a bit. And it's not just the pruning, it's just all factors of weather and everything else. Last year we were back to about our average over this course of this 4 years. And this year, just with the blossoms that are coming out, everything's looking like it's lining up really good. The weather is perfect.
Yes, we do like to have fun. And what a flight that Pete and Aaron poured us at their cidery. Absolutely delicious. From there, we headed back to the hotel to be able to drop, freshen up for the outdoor cider dinner that evening at the Everett Family Farm. It's an organically certified farm, the same location for SoCal Cider, an award-winning cidery, recently awarded Good Food Award. Just exquisite. We drove the bus up right to the cidery. Laura was greeting us. We walk into the cidery. She had this fantastic tasting. Then we walk down the hill, past the pear trees, down past the orchard, up to the pavilion that was all open air, where the table was tablecloth with glasses. She gave us beautiful glasses to take home. I have my SoCal cider glass. At least I think I was supposed to take it home. I have it home now, so I'll take a photo and make sure I made it worthwhile. I think she said keep it. Maybe it was just for the dinner. Darn, I don't know. I'm sorry, Laura. I'll send it back. Anyways, I have it. I love this goblet. It's going to be in my treasure chest, no doubt. And we had this magnificent dinner. Robbie Honda gave me the idea, why don't you get the apples for the baked apple from Jake Mann, Newtown Pippins. I've been drinking them all day. Wouldn't you know it? Jake did that, set us up with these apples. Our chef, Saruj, she cooked it, this traditional Indian meal, appetizers of salmon and spicy potatoes, and then a main course that it paired exquisitely with the cider. It really did. Wow. Exquisitely. And then the baked apple a la mode with calvados on top. It was just a full cycle experience. But before I leave you, in this segment here, I want you to just hear a little bit with Laura Everett, who's just one of the finest hosts I know. Big tip of the glass to she and Rich Everett. Here we go.
Sorry. So we basically use all our own apples. I have bought in the past a few from a friend right up on the ridge, but otherwise we grow all our own apples. This is the OG, so this is straight up Pippin from 2018. So that juice you just tasted fermented to this. No, this is the original OG hard cider, the yellowy colored one. Yeah, so it's always been a thing with Rich and I, how much goes to Fresh, to how much goes to me, and then we're always sitting there at night during harvest season, like, how many bins do you think we got? How many bins of this? How many bins of that? And, because he's always counting to fill the freezer, but he can only fit so much, so that's how I end up with a whole bunch of Honeycrisp that I really don't want. But I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take it. But actually, it blends really nicely into the persimmons, because the persimmons are very light flavor, so having they're not something heavy go to that has been advantageous. There is a reason why we do it like this.
The Totally Cider Tour to Monterey Bay was an absolute success, made best by all the people who signed up to come along on the tour and to trust in me and the makers and this region of California to really deliver. And boy, did they deliver. I was just so filled up. I mean, I'm still like recalling different images and saying, did that just happen? Did that really happen? Did we experience that? Oh yeah. And that happened. It was just so much packed full in 2 days and yet well balanced, just like a perfect cider. So thank you to everyone. It is a memory that I will not leave both my palate nor my heart for a very long time. So cheers to the next time. I kind of feel like on the cider tour, we made some like once in a lifetime experiences. I mean, getting to the Martinelli's plant, I could tell we were an anomaly to the folks working there. It doesn't happen. And to be the first group of cider tourists in that way in California was making history. And I'm really, really proud to be part of that and to be helping really spotlight these amazing regions, not only in California, but around the world. The next cider tour rolling out with me is to Normandy, France this coming September, the last week of September. Go to the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com. I have to say that the price will be going up at the end of April. So make sure to get in your reservations now before, you know, the price goes up. Be wise so that you'll have more money in your pocket for cider to bring back home, because you know you'll be able to bring an extra suitcase. And the folks on this tour were kind of lamenting the fact that they didn't bring an extra suitcase to bring cider home. So that's a little bit of a trick of the trade. Make sure you have room to bring cider, because some of these ciders, they don't come a second time around. So it's a wonderful experience. When I come back, we're going to do a little bit of singing. I'll tell you a little bit more about the We Like Cider song.
Orchard, down the street. Yeah, tooling down the street. Something, because you're already walking. So you're doing something else down the street.
You want a tool?
Something.
A tool?
Or, you know, well, is it walking, what's another word? Tooling? Floating down the street. Cruising.
Walking down the orchard.
Tripping down the street. Or
I don't
want to
be tripping down the street now. I like to be flat-footed.
What's the word? Sauntering? Another word for saunter down the street? What's the swagger you just had? No, it's the walking. What'd you call that?
Swaying. Swaying?
Swaying? Wow. I don't know. You got to keep it simple.
That's kind of like
it's the walking down the street, walking through the orchard.
Walking through the orchard.
You could say walking down the street, too.
Dancing through the streets.
Dancing in the streets. Dancing through the streets.
Dancing through. I want to be...
Walking through the orchards, dancing through the streets, smelling all the flowers, kicking up our feet.
Well, there you get a little bit of the background to putting the song together. There is no doubt that singing with my cousin and my brother and friends growing up as a kid kept me out of trouble, kept me off the streets, and kept me healthy. It is what we did every chance that we could as kids. And so many years later, we still love to get together and pick up a tune and just sing. This song came to me about a month or so ago. The tune came to my mind. I picked up my recorder, put it down, and I knew when I was going to get to Santa Cruz that my cousin could put it to music that he could play. It comes from the inspiration of cider. You know, this explanation. What's cider? What's about? What's different? And sometimes it's kind of hard to put into words. So I just kind of went with the main chorus of, and it's pretty easy, there's a reason why we do it like this. So it begins with, there's a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we drink it like this. There's a reason why we drink it like this. And in between, you could do a little bit of, oh yes, there is, or ba-da-da-da. Whatever works for you. Remember, it's a drinking song. The next chorus is, we like cider. We like palms. We like orchards and having fun. Which I think kind of says it all about cider. And because I couldn't help myself to add one little bit of a chord change in there, sing it any way you want, but the words are, we like walking through the orchard, dancing through the streets, smelling all the blossoms and kicking up our feet. It doesn't matter, Ciderville, whether you begin with we like cider or there's a reason why we do it like this or walking in the orchard. It's all good. It's all about cider and having fun and not taking yourself too darn seriously, but just enjoying the moment that you have while you have it with the people you have around you. Do know that there's going to be a video. It should be up now on the Cider Chat YouTube channel, a little bit of making of this song and a medley of different people just kind of celebrating the cheer. That's a short version of the song. And at the very tail end here, I'm going to be playing a longer version to help you practice your singing skills. I hope you're able to yell it out and share it. And if you're sharing this here song with others, record it and send it my way, and I'll put it up too. Because I couldn't think of anything better than us to have some kind of anthem out there in Ciderville to be singing and raising a glass to that is easy to sing and, more importantly, fun to sing. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. We like palms. We love orchard. Dancing in the street, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards, having some fun. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking out of the orchard, dancing in the street, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms. Having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we do it like this. Walking down the orchards, dancing in the street, staring at all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
Something.